Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, getting you started this morning here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us at 9, and we'll take you to Charlie Polillo at 11. Lance, you there?
I'm right here.
Can I tell you something? This is just between me and you.
Yeah, don't tell anybody else. Don't tell Dell.
Angel Hernandez sucks at his job.
Why? Now, why would you put that out there like that?
This is my opinion. I haven't heard anyone else.
I haven't either. This is a revolutionary opinion.
This is hot take. This is what I like to call a hot take. Okay? How this guy and behind home plate... Is there any way he's so terrible? I mean, why is this? It's like a Supreme Court justice. You can't get rid of him. I mean, you know, you just it's bad call after bad strike zone. It's bad. George Springer put it best, I thought.
Oh.
He said some ugly things to. I mean, it was just ridiculous. He had just, and that was what Springer said. Springer gets called for strike three. He's walking up the line because he thought he walked. Angel calls him out, and he turns around and he says, Angel, you just called that pitch a ball. And then he got to the locker room, and Lance, why don't you tell everybody what he said?
Well, he said, that pitch was high, sucker.
Or low, you mean?
Not high. That pitch was low, sucker, but his mouth was like, you can't, if you try to read lips, it's not going to look like that, but that's because George, you know, has had some issues with stuttering,
right?
And it looked like it came out pretty cleanly yesterday. It looked like it rolled off the tongue for George really easily yesterday, where he said, that's a lock, sucker.
Right. Or I think he said... I think that somebody, I don't know, you know, maybe those, you know, those super soaker things were out there. He said something about ducking cork soakers.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know what cork has to do with it. I don't know.
That could have been.
It was something to that effect. And, you know, I just think, I'm pretty sure there are no super soakers there. So I don't know what he was talking about. But it was, hey, listen, it looked like another. What the hell is going on in the first inning? And AJ even said it after the game. He goes, well, we're going to try to not give up any runs in the first tomorrow. We're going to try to do that. And Verlander's on the mound, so I would imagine I think that's probably a pretty good prediction there, that you're not going to give up any runs in the first. But this is getting into an epidemic now. Holy crap. Everybody is Dallas Keuchel.
Yes, this is a big concern.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's early in the year, and I know it's not actually a big concern, but for this particular stretch of the season, it's a big. Let's do this. I understand that there's different seasons inside the season, and you have to respect it like that, or you end up looking like a super overreactor all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But during this portion of the season, this is currently a concern.
Yeah, I mean, when you're giving up 10 runs a game, yeah, that's a concern. It's a
and
little.
I did not see this coming. We thought the pitching was going to be rock solid across the board.
Actually, that's not the case. But here's what I didn't see coming, is I think you know how I feel about Gerrit Cole in my life. Yeah. I want more Gerrit Cole in my life. I want Gerrit Cole to make a long-term commitment to me, and which he hasn't done.
Well, you know.
And
because those strikes ain't loyal for him. Those outs ain't loyal.
No. Well, here's the deal is maybe he's a little bit upset. Oh, you're going to give Justin $66 million. Oh, that's great. Breggers gets his monies.
Oh, he'll start pitching when he gets more money. What is he, Antonio Brown?
Yeah. Well, maybe he is. Why can't he be Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown can be Antonio Brown, but Gerrit Cole can't be Antonio Brown?
I'd love to have more Antonio Brown in my life.
Yeah.
If you mean the best receiver in the game?
Okay.
Not the best receiver on the Steelers either. If I could have more Odell Beckhams and Antonio Browns for the Astros, what a glorious team this would be.
Yeah.
We'll pitch when we get more money.
Oh, I guess you just don't want the most production, most explosive, the best players in the game.
I don't think that Gerrit Cole's holding back the good stuff until he gets $25 million.
You can be all conservative with your Gerrit Cole stuff if you like. But mid-June, when he's got a blonde mustache and he's got little jewels in his hair because he's not getting his money. Did you notice when Antonio Brown got his money, that mustache went away and he got the haircut to clean him? Because you always got to clean yourself up for a new job. All I'm saying is, Lance, watch out for Gerrit Cole in mid-June when he gets a little ornery about his contract.
Yeah,
I swear on everything, if Gerrit Cole comes with any blonde mustaches at any point, I am out the door.
I'll be like, sweet. We got Antonio Brown. I'm totally down.
The best wide receiver / starting pitcher in the game.
Yes, 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 yes. All of those things.
I think the blonde mustache was one of the more aggressive. I know it was talked about. I don't feel like it was talked about enough, if I'm going to be honest with you. Antonio Brown's brown mustache was the equivalent of a cobra hood. Where that was the ultimate warning, saying, look, I have flexed my hood in the form of a blonde mustache, and I want you to know how incredibly dangerous I am at this particular time. It's like some reptile in the wild that's skin turns red, you know, to scare away predators. Antonio Brown's blonde mustache was so disconcerting to me that I struggled to sleep at night at times. And I was glad I remember I was at the Senior Bowl. I'll never forget where I was. I was at the Senior Bowl eating a lunch at the restaurant in the hotel, and at the bar, I looked up and I see the blonde mustache during the interview, and I had heard about it, and I don't know. It just didn't register until I saw it, and I was like, oh my God. This is a problem. We've got to do something about this. And then the national nightmare went on a little longer.
Well,
I forgot about jewels in the hair. No, I just forgot about that. I just wrote that off as just, you know, being fashion forward. I just thought maybe Migos did that one time.
Not Migos. And I was being a little complimentary with jewels. I don't know what they're even called. Beads, I guess they're called. Not Migos. The 8-year-old girls girls who were 8 years old when I was 8 years old in elementary school had those things in their hair.
Bo Derek been having that.
Yeah, that too.
Those braids that you see. The little girls come back when their family have been on vacation.
When they go to the Bahamas.
John and I talked about how there's like now legislation where schools can't discriminate against people because of their hair. White kids go to the Bahamas and come back with those beads in the hair. Black kids have been doing that on a normal Monday. Okay.
Yeah. The white kids who did it, it was always like the other white kids you could see. What has happened to Carrie?
She spent a week in the Bahamas.
I know, and people got super nervous. Like, I think Carrie is on drugs now because look at her hair. That was the kind of thing I could see the other 14-year-old girls do.
Or they say, Mom, look at Carrie. Can I get that hair? Well, no, that's Bahama hair, Taylor. You're not getting that hair.
I did this. I saw Carrie with that hair, and I said, ooh, I think Carrie might do things now.
What?
What?
that was just
why if you got that you do things.
That was what high, do you mean?
You that think was high Antonio, testosterone.
That's why Antonio that got it so he could do stuff.
Any change, any alteration when and this is like the summer. This is like the summer movie thing too, right? When a kid goes away and then they mature or whatever over the summer and then they come back and they're kind of different. And you're like, oh, something's different. Ooh, something's different. They must do things. They must have done things. Mm. Yeah,
it was called puberty. Know, it's called puberty. Like, That's what happened.
What's his name? John
Granato.
No. The 80s movies were Pretty in Pink and John Hughes. Yeah, it's kind of like a John Hughes thing, only with a little bit of an erotic twist. I'm probably thinking like Bo Derek with the 10 when I was a kid when she was running on the
beach.
You're
talking about a grown woman, not Carrie who went to the Bahamas. She didn't come. Nothing changed, but she, you know, puberty hit Carrie. That doesn't mean she wants to do things with you.
No, it's early in the Pacific time. Just things are all just flying together right now.
She probably does. You don't together. Know that, though.
Not with Lance. I said with Lance.
Oh, with Lance. Specifically. I don't know that anybody does.
I don't want anything having to do with Bo Derek now.
That's all his wife wants to do is watch Game of Thrones. Not even his wife wants to do that.
Oh, my God. My wife, my wife yesterday, she goes, hey, what time do you land in a text? And I'm like, I said, ooh, you already trying to get it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, 3:35. And she goes, I'm really anxious to see you, but I don't want you talking when I want to make sure you're not here when Game of Thrones is on because I don't want you chit-chatting. Like, the only reason she was asking, she wants me to land later is what she wants. She even made a comment on the phone. She said, wow, you're getting home early. And I said, well, I mean, I landed. I mean, I'm not going to actually get home until like 5 probably.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not really home early. Yeah, but it's not going to be like, the other times you come home at 9, 10, 11, 12, I thought you're actually getting home later. I said, no, I'm getting home earlier. She goes, oh, okay, that's good. And I could tell she was not happy.
She thinks
I talk during Game of Thrones. Sometime, here's what I'll do. I'll pause to make a comment that has merit and or is a funny comment.
No, she's not looking for that.
No, she doesn't want that. You know what she doesn't need? You talking during the movie, okay?
It's called an interactive feature.
Yeah, no. We don't need commentary. We don't need your Lance's commentary.
Hey, Lance, I know this is the most popular show on the planet, and you know they've been doing this for about a decade now. What I need from you is to add on to it because I can't live without you adding
on
to it.
Your inside perspective.
Yeah, because that Reddit is not there for that. Yeah. If she's looking for that. Because
we need you to pause it to give us your thoughts.
Oh, look, my husband's making fun of Bran again, calling him Timmy. Thanks for that.
I don't call him Timmy. You guys call him Timmy.
No.
You guys characterize him. My characterizations.
You kind of do stuff when you talk
about
Bran.
I don't
Bran.
Say Timmy. Dell put Timmy in your
head.
No,
I didn't.
Now,
Twitter did that.
Did.
No. Twitter did that because they heard your impression.
Yeah.
All John does is now is just say Timmy all the time.
Timmy.
That's what he does. See?
Timmy.
Wait, when you said the most popular show in the decade or whatever, were you talking about me and John?
No.
Or you're talking about Game of Thrones.
Hey. I'm talking about Game of Thrones. For some reason, this city
is going to be pissed. You said that.
Yeah, you better. For some reason, this city has some weird obsession with you two dopes. But no, I'm not talking about this show.
Listen, you don't. How would this sound if you're watching a show with me? Pause. You know, I cannot stand stupid ass Gendry. Like, wouldn't that? That adds
what
to
is
it.
Wrong?
That
what adds is
to
your?
I don't like it when you do it when we're not watching the show, when we're here. You think I would like it during the show?
You've got some weird love affair with Gendry.
No,
I just
it's just a weird, your weird obsession with Gendry. I don't get it. That's all.
Yeah, that is. What is wrong with you? This is probably why your wife doesn't like to watch with you.
Because you take on
these issues for no reason. You have an illogical distaste for Gendry for some reason.
No, what? I don't. And it's not – I'm putting things out there that make some sense. And I'll say things like, you know what would be cool right here? Like sometimes I pause it and I'll say, I'll bet you I know what's going to happen. And then I'll tell her what I think will happen.
And no one cares what you think is going to happen. That's the problem watching with you.
It adds a layer. It adds context.
No one wants your 7-layer Game of Thrones talk. We don't want it.
It's fine. One layer's fine. It's
what about
called
this?
The. What it's about called this? Their writing and production. Don't need your additions.
And some of my stuff is like, okay, during the shame walk, I may have paused and said, "Who's? Are they carrying around human feces, or is somebody reaching down like a chimpanzee and slinging it out of their own ass?"
Who's looking for Tony Romo of Game of Thrones? Stop it! We don't want you predicting or looking into things. The show is the show.
Yeah. This looks like cover two. He's going to hit the slant. What?
Dell's no. onto something. No, Dell just hit something. Tony Romo, Game of Thrones.
He'd be the worst.
If somebody could put that out there with the shame, the walk of shame, like,
yeah.
Right? Jim, watch out. Feces on the face right here.
Look at her shoulder. Jim, look at her back shoulder. It looks like, yeah. That looks like somebody puked clear on her body as well.
Double. This is going to be a clear body double right here. Yep. That's CGI. I think that's going to be a CGI. You got to watch for CGI. Anytime a plus 40 actress is walking through the streets naked, there's a great shot of a plus C. There's a plus chance of a CGI.
Oh, he had inside information. He knew. He talked to the coaches beforehand because everybody knew that was a body double.
Somebody has got to make a Tony Romo's got to make a Tony Romo of Game of Thrones. Yeah. About the dragons or something. That would be where he's. Can you imagine Tony Romo hitting everyone with spoilers as a movie's as the show's going on?
Look right here, Jim. Look right here. He's about to talk about the Iron Bank. Oh my God, Jim! You got to follow the money. You got to follow the money, Jim.
Don't say follow the money because you know who you're going to bring. You're going to bring up Beetlejuice, Raheel.
Raheel. Hey, there is a Barstool, this dude does a 12-minute breakdown of the Iron Bank and where, and breaks it down. And because of following the money, he decides who is going to win the throne. It's all because of the Iron Bank. Ooh, it's scary. I watched it before the show because I didn't have anything else. Because that's all I had was Angel Hernandez last night.
I didn't pay any attention to the Iron Bank, and what I would do is pause it, and I would tell my wife. Why do we care about the Iron Bank?
Oh, why do we? You're Cersei. It's like you because you grew up with a silver spoon.
You don't understand,
and you don't see how important that is.
Cersei paid off the Iron Bank, and now the debts are gone. Now they don't have any. They don't need to really have her win the Iron Throne because before,
except they lent her more now to bring in Strickland.
That's true.
Yes. But so
it's all very.
So somebody from the Iron. Oh my God! If somebody from the Iron Throne. Comes in from the Iron Bank comes in and they've got a lean on the Iron Throne at the end and they sit on there and it's just some metaphor for how we're owned by credit card companies and lending institutions.
I'm
going to vomit all over the ground.
Well, to be fair, you're delving into Phil Simms territory, not Tony Romo territory.
Well, and it's, this is Donald Trump territory, actually, if you want to know the truth. When the bank lends you, and this guy says that when they lend you $100, that's a you problem. When the bank loans you $100 million, that's a bank problem.
So they back you because how are they going to get their money back?
They're going to back you until...
Because the Lannisters are too big to fail.
No, their motto is, we always repay our debt.
Lannister always pays his debt.
That's their motto. And maybe that was the whole... from the beginning. From the very beginning, we should have seen this. We got to take a break. We got to talk. Speaking of saving money and doing it right, it's Absolute Marble and Granite. It's Jeff Aronoff right now. Please, people, all you got to do is call Absolute Marble and Granite and get started on that new whatever it is. If your business is shoddy, if your business needs to, if you need to upgrade, you need new countertops, how about make it look decent so people can come in and actually enjoy your place of business? If you're finding that it's falling off and this place is kind of gross. And nobody wants to go to a place that's kind of gross. And oh, by the way, the same for your house. People come over and go, wow, this is interesting. Well, not really. It's really gross. So what you need to do is call Jeff Aronoff. Let him put in that new countertop or vanity. You know what? Upgrade, because you're not going to get – this is the biggest investment you've ever made. You got to continually upgrade it. You got to make it look nice. Otherwise, you ain't getting your money back out of it. So call Jeff. That's what he'd do every single day. 713-880-2822. 20% off for 97.5 listeners. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Is the bench. The bench on ESPN 97.5.
The bench!
Tell them again!
The bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range
history. It's good! The
man, what a shot. Holy crap. If he misses that, though, doesn't everybody... What the hell, Dame?
You watch CJ McCollum in the corner. At some point, he waves and was like, go, go. And I'm at home watching, like, man, you got to go at some point.
He didn't know. He didn't.
He went. He didn't have to.
He said, no, 40 feet. That's
just sidestep
cool.
Three, put you away, and wave bye-bye to Russ.
How deep was that?
They say 37. That was the initial
man, it looked
call.
Like it looked like 40. Yeah. Yeah. Holy crap. I mean, he just said, you know what? This is over. Watch this.
It's just not any different than when he buried us in the sand.
Well, a little different in that
it was a pretty far shot there, too.
It was a tough shot. Catch and shoot on the run, just turn and fire. But well, this was a good. This was 37
court.
This was 37 feet. That's ridiculous.
Go back and look at the other one and go get a look at that. It was well over 30 feet, and he was running towards.
Oh, no, I did
if
look
I remember
at
correctly,
it.
He was running. Wasn't he running towards?
Yeah, he was running towards. He was running left and caught and shot right. Yes.
Yeah, it was tough, but it wasn't 30.
It wasn't
30.
This.
I mean, he faded, so I don't know when he released the shot, but when he caught it, it wasn't 30 feet.
No.
He's got daggers. That guy's just walking around dragon glass.
Yeah.
I'm just going to use all Game of Thrones.
Oh, my God. No,
Dragon Glass!
No,
I would be the Kevin Harlan using all that stuff.
No, please. Why can't you do the show with Nicole? As
soon as there's a lob to Clint Capella, I'd go, he's drinking Giants milk! I would drop a Giants milk reference as soon as James got hot.
Okay.
PJ Tucker, corner three, I'd be like, Gendry's on fire.
No, you just say, that's the real Lord of Light or something like that.
Yeah,
say,
yeah. The Battle of the Bat. That's what Dame Lillard. Yesterday was Battle of the Bastards because they're just Whoa. Bastard players on teams Whoa. Where like they're way better. Well, they're higher born. I actually think they're higher born than they really, you know, they're stuck with Oklahoma City and Portland. Those houses are going nowhere. They're going nowhere. But the Battle of the Bastards between those two, that was insane. Between those two crazy maniacs, Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton, yeah, that was actually Battle of the Bastards last night. Russell is Ramsay Bolton.
Well, if we're going to make this stretch of a comparison,
yes.
He would be Ramsay Bolton.
He would be. Yeah, okay. I'll give you that one. I will give you that one. There is apparently... did you see these? There are some Lady Brienne pictures.
No.
Yeah, she's been naked.
Yeah.
She was a model at one point.
Yeah, a very tall model.
Yeah.
She's with another girl that is they're
smaller.
Holy, that very, I mean, doesn't even, comes up to her about her belly button. And, I don't know. She posed without stuff on.
Why are you Googling that?
I didn't. It's called a story called The Knight's Tale, and I didn't Google it. It's the first story on Barstool right now. I don't know why, but it's disturbing anyway.
Hey, Dale, could you get the audio for Paul George talking about how Damian Lillard's shot was a bad shot? Nothing is going to be funnier than a player on a team that was just eliminated by a dagger three at the gun, at the buzzer. Saying, well, that was actually, he's going full Twitter. That's what I figured about this generation of just where we are as a society. All they are is well, actually, Twitter. Because well, actually, Twitter has to be the most, it's a combination of being, it is condescending, but it's also contrarian. And it's just, they have to be cynical at every turn about everything. And having a guy who was just eliminated by a buzzer beater say, well, actually, it was really not a very good shot. Thanks, Twitter George.
It wasn't a very good shot. But I just rewatched. And as a matter of fact, on this story, they showed the buzzer beater against the Rockets. Not even close. I mean, this one.
I didn't say it was as far.
No.
It wasn't a face-up. He wasn't dribbling face-up.
No. He caught and shot. Actually, on the run, you're right. It was a different – don't question
it. I think it was an even harder shot.
You
it
do?
Wasn't as far, but he wasn't faced up. At least you got momentum toward the basket.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, man.
You I got mean, it? Either Here's, one of them, it doesn't matter. They're both
Yeah,
incredible.
They're both great shots. Paul George.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
What's Paul George's point? It's not like he forced him into a bad shot. Damian Lillard had the ball and dribbled because he wanted that shot. Is Paul George saying, look, I played the best defense I could, and he made a shot? He wanted to take a 37-footer.
Well, I guess, but I guess if you're Paul George, you say, I'll give him that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not faulting yeah. Paul George, but it's not as if your defense forced him into a bad shot.
No.
He played himself into a bad shot.
Right, he chose that. No question. But, you know, if I'm them, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna play off of you at 40 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. And you go ahead and take that. Now, Paul George should have been more like, wow. That's unbelievable.
Well, in another clip, he does credit Damian Lillard's night and said he made tough shots and he just had a great night. But as far as that specific shot, yeah, it was a bad shot.
Yeah. Bad shot just won the series.
Yeah, in your home.
Yeah.
And out of the first round for the second year in a row.
Right. All right, 713-780-3776. Why, when we come back, why Jimbo Fisher might stay at Texas A&M?
Oh, are we doing the Jimbo Fisher's going to leave?
Oh,
again?
It's the Jimbo Fisher watch. Don't worry about it. Oh, you dude.
Jimbo Fisher ain't never leaving.
Lance. Whoa, buddy.
Didn't Ed Orgeron just win a
we'll see.
New Year's Six game? He just won a New Year's Six game with, like, receivers playing cornerback. We're just going to shove Ed out the way already?
Oh, no. Well, but Ed's got a life. He's got a life expectancy. He's Ed Orgeron. He's always going to be. And people like Ed, but we'll talk about it on the other side.
He's Cajun. Give him a lifetime contract.
Well, he's cut off or wherever. That's deep, deep. And he may even be too Cajun for Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge ain't Cajun. Baton Rouge ain't Cajun.
No.
And he may be too Cajun for Baton Rouge, if you want to know.
Everyone thinks all of Louisiana is Cajun.
No, it ain't.
It's the biggest misunderstanding of a.
No. Yeah. Let's talk about Craig DeCerf. He ain't Cajun either.
No, Craig is not really Cajun. DeCerf is not a Cajun name. He's not from New Iberia. His people are probably Danish or something. I just know this much. His people in Angleton, good people. Very good people. I love the people there. And when we broadcast from down there, when I've gone down there for car stuff, one of the things, it's so down home. Across the street at their other dealership, they've got an actual kitchen. And where they cook for people in the, you know, it's like a, yeah, it's like a commissary, basically, where they cook for people who come in. You buy your sandwiches, your burgers, your fries, whatever. They've got the cobbler. I would recommend while you're getting your truck that you also go across the street and get a little cobbler. That's just a little something, just a little pro tip I'm trying to give you out here, just trying to help you. And, yes, they do have butter in that kitchen. I will tell you that. So when you have butter, that's a good thing. When you have prices as low as Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, that's also a very good thing. If you can find 0% financing on a brand new pickup truck, that's a great thing. And we know that the city of Houston, the state of Texas, it's always been truck territory, and they will take great care of you with your GMC Sierra pickup truck, with your crew cab, your extended cab. You're looking for a Chevy Silverado, SLT editions. I don't care if you want it more basic models or the most tricked out model you can find, they're going to have the Denali editions waiting for you as well. SUVs, pickup trucks, crossover vehicles, and yes, Buick has a ton of sedans that are priced exactly the way you like them. More trade-in value than anywhere else will offer you. When you head to Angleton, you will save thousands with my friend, Craig DeCerf at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. For their entire inventory, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Heels and Wheels is happening May 4th and 5th, featuring nearly 300 of the world's finest classic cars and vintage wooden boats competing for awards of excellence. See Elvis Presley's Pantera with bullet holes put there by the king himself. Also featured this year, 100 years of Bentley and beautiful vintage wooden boats. Heels and Wheels concurs d'Elegance May 4th and 5th at Lakewood Yacht Club in Seabrook. For tickets, visit heels-wheels.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, I tell you, there is... Did you see, I mean, Odell and Dave Gettleman, Enos Kanter and Billy Donovan?
Yeah, I was telling John during the break, if you guys remember, I think it was a Rockets series, I think, Billy Donovan at one point, or maybe it was just the Warriors, he said, can't play Kanter. Like, we saw him mouth it because they had a camera on him, and Kanter responded last night on Twitter with, can play Kanter. Everyone remembers everything.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is maybe, and I love it, the most petty sport in all of sports.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
it is.
It's the most sensitive slash petty group where those guys have lit. You know who should be an NBA player? Baker Mayfield. Because I'm not sure anyone's been more petty than Baker Mayfield in existence.
Did you see?
Who's got a longer list of people he hit? Who's got the longer list?
Jordan.
Aria, Jordan, or it's either Aria Stark, Jordan, or
Michael
Baker
Jordan's
Mayfield.
Got the longest list.
Michael's probably the the most petty.
Most petty ever.
He's the goat of pettiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? And payback. I don't know. Aria takes care of her business as well. Pretty good. Pretty well. Did you see Nurkic's shirt last night? He walks into the arena. He's got a shirt that says, got bricks. And then there's a picture of a brick. And then it says, next question. Oh my God. Facial right there for Russ. So college football's most valuable teams, 2018. I was surprised. Texas Tech comes in 25th at $60 million. Forbes says Texas Tech. Surprisingly, one of the biggest surprises to me in the top 25, there was no Clemson. South Carolina came in at 15, I believe. Michigan State, 22. I'm trying to go through them fast, and they're just not loading fast enough. The top two moneymakers in all of college football. Can you two take a guess?
Well, based on your previous comment, I'm going to say A&M.
It's not even close. A&M is number one.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, I mentioned this, and we've been talking behind the scenes. Like, I know some people that know some people and everything else about what's going on here. And Scott Woodward was an LSU guy. He went to LSU. He started there. He moved on, went to Washington, moved around the country just so he could get back to LSU, and finally opened up. Joe Oliva beat it. Time to bring in some new blood. Time to bring in one of our own. Scott Woodward shows up. In the meantime, Jimbo Fisher, who was at LSU as well and won a national championship as OC under Nick Saban, then got the job at Florida State. Scott Woodward stayed close, hired him over at Texas A&M, and surprisingly didn't put a buyout in his deal. Gave him $75 million with no buyout.
Well, that was also what Jimbo wanted.
Well, it's also what Jimbo wanted, but it might have also been what Scott Woodward wanted.
You think it's an Easter egg that Scott Woodward was actually plotting against A&M?
I don't know plotting against. All I know is wherever if I move on, guess what, Jimbo?
I don't know that LSU is necessarily a better job than A&M.
Well, no, I didn't say that.
A&M's never going to get Walla Wood.
No, so. but there could come a point in this 10-year, $75 million contract where Texas A&M, let's face it, Texas A&M doesn't take long to get rid of to get tired of their coach. And
what do you mean?
Well, I mean the one guy that was able to withstand was R.C. Slocum.
Fran was a goof, but Sumlin had a pretty good run for a guy who got three contracts.
But hey, go ask Summy what that fan base thought of him. Can I finish?
Yeah,
I went to Arizona to see Summy this summer. I went and visited him this summer, and one of the things he said, and it was nice. Obviously, there's a honeymoon period. But one of the first comments that he made, yeah, people around here don't scream, hey, coach, you suck, every time they see you. Okay. It's a tough job. And there's no, and one of the reasons is because, man, there's a lot of money there. The top five, Ohio State brings in fifth. Alabama brings in $127 million. They're fourth. Michigan is third on the list of revenue at $127 as well. Texas, $133 million. And Texas A&M, $148 million. $107 million in profit at Texas A&M. And here's the thing that in behind the scenes, this is a big deal, is one of the things, one of the biggest reasons that Jimbo left Florida State was because they don't spend money, is because he couldn't even get a new facility there, a decent practice facility, and he had to fight, right? It was a battle.
He kept going back for money, but people from Florida State are like, yeah, that's great and all, but how many games did you win in your last couple
that's
years
what it is.
when Jameis isn't around, are you that great of a coach?
Well, that
was the contention. You keep coming back for money, but there's been a downward trend since Jameis left. Maybe we're not looking to give you more.
Right. Well, and that's what it is at Florida State, but that ain't what it is at Texas A&M. We go to the Bright Center, right? And how nice is that place? And they're putting another $20 million into it just because. Yeah. Because that's what they, you know what? Oh, well, yeah, coach, you want that? That's great. Here, we'll put it in there. Don't worry. That's not a big deal.
Texas and Texas A&M have always been top 10 jobs and really higher than that. And A&M got even better over the last decade. But the Sumlin thing to me was a matter of when you get that many contracts, your first contract was a good one. When you push for two, you leverage two extensions in your first 2 years. I mean, then you don't win in November,
right?
That's not going to. I mean, there's not a fan that has nothing to do with A&M. There's not a fan. A&M's had five coaches since the early '80s. That's and two of them are Jimbo Fisher and Fran. So that's like they are pretty loyal to coaches. But this just in, man, for the money that these guys are making, and with coaches having all the leverage with guaranteed contracts, ain't gonna be a whole lot of. People are. I'd say A&M is more patient than most fan bases, probably.
I don't think
impatience is an issue there more than anywhere else.
No, listen, it's a tough. Everywhere's a tough job. There's everywhere no question is, about yeah. that.
But coaches have all the hand from the contractual standpoint.
Well, there are places that are easier than others. No question. Now, it's probably a smaller school that really appreciates you being there, or whatever the case.
Or they don't care as much. Also,
right. Well,
winning doesn't matter as much. Let's be honest. I don't think the pressure is as high at Arizona or Arizona State, if you really want to know.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and that's one of the things about the job is it's a high pressure job. But you want a big job, you want big money, then that's what's going to happen. But don't think that 5 years into this thing, if Jimbo Fisher isn't winning at the highest rate, which ain't going to be easy in the SEC West, period. Ask Arkansas how that's working out for him. That the fan base isn't going to get tired of him.
No, you're right. Is it fair? I think it might be fair relative to the climate that we're in and the money that is being paid to coach. Look how much Jimbo's making.
Yeah, no, all 70. But I've said this: if he does win this 10-year deal that he's got now, you're right. At any point, they could rip it up and give him more money because that's what Texas A&M. That's what Texas A&M does. But if he does win and he's making $7.5 million a year in 9 years from now, 8 years from now, he's going to be pissed. And they'll probably have to redo this deal because he'll be look at how they're escalating now at an unbelievable rate.
Who's got better deals, college coaches or NFL players?
College
coaches. It's not. You got to grow a blonde mustache as a black guy for you to get a contract deal like Jimbo Fisher's. Jimbo gets his Jimbo Fisher. Kevin Sumlin got multiple renegotiations in his first 4 years. He renegotiated twice. Antonio Brown's out here with blonde mustaches.
Yeah, I see. That is true. But
Odell Beckham's throwing things around. And
I will say this, though. I mean, you're close to a lot of coaches. I'm close to a lot of coaches. The December free-for-all that is the hiring season is I just can't imagine living like that. I really can't. We're you know, you have an off season and you're, you know, your dad saw it. I mean, 1 year after a Super Bowl, he was a scapegoat. Yep. I mean, how crappy is that?
It's the job. And look, it's not great for assistant coaches.
No.
They get 2 year contracts. There's a vast difference between. But one of the good things that's happened with at least for assistant coaches, you know, my dad was at U of H. He was making $40,000 a year. And this is in the 80s when he was named an offensive coordinator 1 year, like 86, $50,000. They weren't making money. My mom was a high school teacher. My dad was, we weren't making tons of money at all. There wasn't that kind of money in college football.
No.
But when you got to six figures, it was like, that was incredible. When you finally got there. But now one of the things that Dana Holgorsen did was he used his, and this isn't just Dana. This is like coaches across the spectrum, when they get taken care of, they take care of their assistant coaches. And Dana got some big raises for the coaches that he brought in. Now, when you have that kind of leverage to do that, you don't want to just bring in friends. You want to bring in the good coaches, and you want to use that leverage you have to get the best staff you can. And I think Dana's built a pretty good staff. But that's one of the real keys, is that college assistant coaches are 2 years. And that's pretty much your contract. Unless you're a big time coordinator, you're going every 2 years, and it is a ton of pressure. And the head coaches, man, guaranteed. Now these are the biggest head coaches, obviously.
There is a huge differential in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, yeah, you're right though. I mean, look at some of the assistant coaches. The LSU offensive coordinator, the Clemson defensive coordinator. I mean,
yeah,
they're ridiculous.
It's but ridiculous. The coaches will work. I remember my dad was working. I mean, so I don't complain about 70-hour work weeks that I have. Like, he's like, Lancey, you really got to get some rest. I'm like, Dad, you would be out the door before we went to school, and you'd be back after we went to bed. Like,
my kids say
the
same thing to me, Dad.
Well, what do they say?
They say, man, you got to slow down. It's your workload is way, way too much right now.
I don't know if they end with the workload part, but I do think they probably tell you, you got to slow down.
Well, that is true. Yeah. Well,
I'd say that's an accurate statement.
You know who doesn't need to slow down, who needs to quicken it up tonight, is the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the thing. The Rockets lost. And you know why they did that? So you could watch them close out the series on the home court. Thank you, Rockets. Thank you for being considerate. And thank you for being considerate lovers of the city of Houston. And that's why you're going to head out to Toyota Center tonight. There are some lower bowl tickets still available, but you better act fast. And you got a chance to watch them close out the dreaded and dreadful Utah Jazz, the gang that can't shoot straight. And this should be a blowout. At least that's what I'm hoping. So let's get the party started early at 4:30 with the liftoff party. You got a 4:30 party. There's going to be a band, Breakfast at Tiffany's, playing there, a local band. At 5:30, doors are going to open. Take advantage of Cokes at $1, hot dogs at $1, $3 beers. It's the Rockets happy hour starting at 5:30, and if you get there early, you're going to take advantage. And how about this? You have a chance to see one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history, Mr. James Harden, and Chris Paul and the entire gang knock out the Utah Jazz. Decades of hate have built up and stored up in our collective bodies against the Utah Jazz. Their fan base is a bad people. Let's make them cry and weep on the floor and give them as much pain as possible when the Rockets stomp on the Jazz tonight at Toyota Center. Get your tickets at Rockets.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, Reagan, we get it. I know you're a big ag, Reagan. We get it. Yeah, LSU can't pay. Won't. I don't know if they would or can't. Or I don't know. They'll pay for winning. And oh, by the way, you know, the Tiger Athletic Foundation, you know, they pay the coach. It's a way to get it to 501c3. You know, the rest of, you know, as the state is bankrupt in Louisiana to be paying a head football coach $10 million a year with state funds. Well, that's not how they do it there. I was talking to an athletic director who said that it is a great way to go about it, to take care of all your athletics through a 501c3, and then you don't have to worry about all the state employees and everything. And you don't have to report everything because it's, you know, it's a state entity which has to be reported. So it's a great way to run it. It's a difficult setup. So a lot of but the schools that are doing it that way through their athletic foundation, it's a great way to go about it, and that's what LSU does. And anyway, so Jimbo probably staying because he's got exactly what he wants there. Whenever he needs it, he gets something. Until he doesn't win anymore and they get or if he doesn't win big and they get tired of him. Have you seen Ezekiel Elliott? He's fat.
Are we sure about that? I mean, he's got that cut off. Does he just walk around cut off jerseys, or what do we do?
Yeah. Well, he did put out because he sent out a picture. It was Zeke. Did you see the tattoo he got of himself? He got a tattoo of himself. Only it's with Brand's eyes. He has Brand's eyes, and he sent out a picture. With him, Von Miller, and the other dude, I don't know who it is. I would know him, I guess. But he does look like he's fat. But then he sent out a video with him on the scale. He's 230. Is that what he came in? Is that about right for him?
No.
It seems like it's heavy, no?
No, and when he was at the Colts, I want to say he was in the, I mean, not the Colts, yeah. At the combine, I mean, I think he was in a 214 range.
Yeah, 230.
218 range.
He put
a picture of a scale.
Of a scale.
He put a picture of himself being heavy.
He said, I'm not fat, and look at me, and here's this is what I'm tipping the scale at. Okay, 230? Yeah. 230.05.
At the combine, he weighed in at 225.
225?
Yes.
Oh, so he's 5 points.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's heavier than, it's way heavier than I thought. And it was low body fat.
Right? Isn't he a little Tyrion dude? To be 230?
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I think he's, what was he, Dell? Is he 5'10"?
They got him. They have him at, 6 feet tall?
Well,
Zeke
okay,
is six.
Combine
has him at 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
NFL.com. Combine results.
And that's it. I mean, they put the actual results. So yeah, now he's a big dude, I guess. And it's not like we don't think he'll carry 230. This isn't Ryan Fitzpatrick. I had too much birthday cake money. Fat.
Well, I kind of like fat Zeke. If you want to know the truth, I like thinking about
him. You're supposed to have a dad bod if you're a running back. Like dad bod running backs were Marshall Faulk because he was an ectomorph. Who are running backs who've had dad bods?
Eddie Lacy?
That's not
a dad bod. Eddie Lacy had a dad bod.
That is a
you know what I've noticed? Dad bods don't last long in the NFL at running back.
You must not
they
be watching
quarterback.
Marion Butts.
CJ Anderson was the best Rams back in the playoffs.
Dude,
thank you.
CJ Anderson looked like he looked like a bus driver.
The bus?
I'm like, hey, is that a bus driver? Oh no, that's just a running back in the playoffs.
What's his name? Mike Tolbert?
Mike Tolbert?
Oh,
yeah.
Mike Tolbert had a dad bod. I don't know about the bus. I mean, yeah, the bus did. I guess that's a good one. I'm trying to think who. I mean, there's got to be.
Well, CJ Anderson is the quintessential.
Well, CJ was just. That was jarring to see that this year. Like,
it was like,
oh,
what a
God.
Shock. What the hell happened to you?
When you see those guys picked up off the waiver wire, like, hold up, that's C.J. Anderson? I had to make sure I went and Googled a picture of C.J. Like, yep, same guy who was with the Panthers. Same guy who was with the Denver Broncos not that long ago. That guy was the leading rusher in Denver during their Super Bowl run.
My God. That doesn't
make sense.
That is unbelievable. All right,
but you know what? There's something comforting when – I don't know if it's disconcerting or comforting when I used to see Oliver Miller. Like, this doesn't – or Robert Traylor. This doesn't feel like this should be happening.
I never got that. Is there a better exercise than running, stopping, starting, running, stopping, and running full speed and stopping and starting? They tell you that is the best to get into shape. How in the hell are you Oliver Miller? How are you Pig Miller?
He did have a pituitary gland issue. Like, he had, supposedly, he had an actual issue or a thyroid issue. Sometimes people just like to say they have thyroid issues when they gain weight. I'm pretty sure it's thyroid. Well, maybe, or French fryroid. Maybe that's what it is also. But Oliver Miller had something where from early on they talked about he had like a thyroid condition or pituitary. No, maybe not pituitary gland. I think that turns you into a giant. But he had a thyroid issue. And so he gained weight. But not all of that had to be thyroid. Some of that was just, you ain't living right, Oliver.
Yeah.
But also, how much running, once you make it in the NBA, how much running and stopping and running, stopping are you actually doing when you're not having game days? You think those practices, they're going hard?
Yeah, but even still, Lance.
Oliver's like, hey, I'm gonna play zone.
I mean, I don't care. In the games though, even if you're playing, you're running for 11, 12, 15 minutes, that should be able to keep you in shape. Oliver Miller was just fat. It just is amazing to me. All right, let's catch up here on ESPN 97.5, 757. We got let's do this first. We want to send you and three lucky winners to the Houston Dynamo versus Columbus Crew this Saturday, April 27th at 7:30 at BBVA Compass Stadium. At exactly 8 o'clock, caller number 8 at 713-780-3776 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the game. 713-780-3776. We're going to have the Dynamo in studio today, actually, at 9:30, right?
We're going to have a CEO from the Dynamo in studio.
Yeah, the Dynamo. That's what I said.
I just didn't want people to be looking for Albert to come in. El Pantera, I think, is his nickname. It'll be one of the suits from the Dynamo.
Yeah, but he's going to explain. We got a big game coming up, MDA game, right? So we got a big game, and we'll probably give away more tickets. We got all that going on right now on ESPN 97.5. And we also got the Skeeters starting up, Lance.
We do have the Skeeters, and our friends over at the Skeeters are getting ready to start up. And this is a great chance for you. On Thursday, the first 2,000 fans are going to receive a commemorative championship ring courtesy of Constellation Energy. Yes, the championship, that's who we rep. We rep champions, and that's what the Sugarland Skeeters are. And they are jumping off this Thursday, April 25th. Get out there. Weather's going to be good. And they are going to be giving you championship rings courtesy of Constellation Energy, as well as Texas Farm Bureau magnetic schedule, so you can keep up with their schedule throughout the year. Friday is fireworks night. Saturday is going to be Skeeter's Hat Night, brought to you by Member Source Credit Union. See for yourself what may be the future of baseball partnerships with Major League Baseball. They're going to test out the new rules. No defensive shifts are allowed, no mound visits, quicker inning transitions, and they're even phasing in radar-determined balls and strikes. Let me tell you something. The Skeeters this year are going to give you an advanced look of where baseball is headed. This is where baseball is trying a lot of their different features out, the new features that they want to test to start to integrate them into their game, and you can see them first with the Skeeters. Make sure that you go to Skeeters Baseball this Thursday. Bring your family out there for a chance to enjoy opening day and to get championship rings from the Skeeters. For more information, go to SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.